Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight is a particular honor for me because, let's face it, my presence on this stage is pretty unlikely. My father was a foreign student, born and raised in a small village in Kenya. He grew up herding goats, went to school in a tin roof shack. His father, my grandfather, was a cook.
Welcome to Current Events with Patrick Cook. I'm your host, Patrick Cook, coming to you live from Dallas, Texas, as I do every Sunday at 4 p.m. Central Time, 5 o'clock Eastern. We are the number one resource for small business and nonprofits. To learn how you can showcase your business or nonprofit, go to our website at TaylorMade101.com. That's TaylorMade101.com for details. Man, we have another great show in store for you today. So sound the alarm. Get on Facebook, Twitter, Foursquare, Tumblr. Send out emails and text messages. Call your friends and family and tell them to tune in right now to Current Events with Patrick Cook. To join the conversation, the number to call is 323-580-5712. Once again, the number is 323-580-5712. And for those of you that are listening via Blog Talk Radio, leave your comment. Click the follow button or follow me on Twitter, and that's at TaylorMade101. I'll be reading your tweets live on the air. And I also have a chat room open. Out there in the chat room, you can leave your comments or ask questions. So whatever your pleasure, chat room, Twitter, Facebook, or just plain old my bell, we want to hear from you. But first, let's take a look at the current events. Welcome, 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 everyone. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. Happy, happy Mother's Day. And a big special happy Mother's Day to my mom, Mary Jo Cook. I love you, darling. I love you a lot. And, of course, I would be remiss if I didn't say happy Mother's Day to my wonderful, beautiful wife, Jima Hill Cook. Yes, indeed. Happy Mother's Day. We're really, really glad that we decided to celebrate you all. Because it is definitely something that you all deserve, and we love you, we love you, love you. I want to talk a little bit about a couple of issues. First, I want to talk a little bit about the gay marriages. Of course, it's been all over the news. You have people that had several different opinions about this. And I'm kind of glad we're doing it at the end of this cycle, and mainly because you had an opportunity to hear views from both sides, right? You hear people that are for the issue and people that are against the issue. And so now I want to ask the simple question, are black churches on the wrong side of history on gay rights? And I really ask this question mainly because of this article that's written, in The Root, and the article reads as thus. Pro-slavery advocates cited the Bible as part of their argument to enslave blacks in America. And CNN reporter John Blake explores whether black churches are using similar tactics by citing literal biblical texts to support their stance against gay marriage. Now, why would the black church cite scripture to exclude gays when a similar approach to the Bible was used to enslave their ancestors? It is so unfortunate, says James Cone, one of the nation's most influential black theologians and author of The Cross and the Lynching Tree. The literal approach to scripture was used to enslave black people, he says. I've said many times in black churches that the black church is on the wrong side of history on this. It's so sad because they were on the right side of history in their own struggle. Black churches also embrace a literal reading of the scripture because of its unique history, says Bloom, author of W.B. Du Bois' American Prophet. During slavery and segregation, many blacks saw the Bible as one of the documents that they could trust. The Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, state and local laws all found some way to ignore their humanity, Bloom says. The Bible, though, was one book that told them that they weren't slaves or three-fifths of a person, Bloom says. It said that they were children of God. So then why is it that the black church is totally against, if you hear a lot of the different commentary, against this issue? Now, it's not as if laws has been changed. It's not as if they're going to go down and start, you know, having rainbow parades every day and start getting married all over. It's not like it's going to change your lifestyle. But yet and still, you've heard a lot of people, especially the black church, come out against this issue. I want you to weigh in on this. 323-580-5712. Once again, the number is 323-580-5712. I also want to talk a little bit about Marissa Alexander. Now, of course, if you haven't heard, Marissa Alexander was the young lady that fired a weapon in Florida and shot the weapon in the air, but didn't kill her husband. But she was sentenced this week to 20 years for doing it. And the fact that she tried to use the defense of the George Zimmerman used against Trayvon Martin, stand your ground, but it didn't. In this case, it didn't apply. Now, of course, in the George Zimmerman case, he actually shot and killed Trayvon Martin. She only shot the weapon in the air to defend him off of her. So she did not shoot him, just for clarity, but she got 20 years for discharging her weapon, even though there was proof against violence against her by her husband in the past. Interesting. I need you to weigh in on this one as well. To join the conversation, the number is 323-580-5712. 323-580-5712. We're going to take a quick break, but when we return, we're going to open up the phone lines and also hear from the infamous Jima Hill Cook. Be back in a moment. You're listening to Current Events with Patrick Cook.
Enterprises have joined forces with Google Inc. and Amazon.com. With this new partnership, our companies, TaylorMade Training and Consulting, Current Events, and Ask Jima, can now offer you the best deals 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Whether you're looking for a discounted book for your book club or a very special gift for a friend, family member, or loved one, TaylorMade's Marketplace is where you should go first. Visit our website at TaylorMade101.com. and click on Marketplace to get the best deals today.
Thank you for your call. Let me read you a couple of my Twitter family, and then I'll have you respond, Dr. Hutchinson. But I want to read the first one from one of my best Twitter family members, Ask Jima. And Ask Jima says, Reverend Al, today is my birthday, and I'm sitting in Barnes & Noble Starbucks watching you online, driving people around me crazy. And I want to wave at her and the folks she's driving crazy and wish her a happy birthday on her 21st birthday. That's my friend. And, of course, my East Boone friend.
Need a new website? Haven't figured out your social media strategy? Are you finally ready to tweet, post, or blog? Well, look no further. Go to TaylorMade101.com. That's TaylorMade101.com. We are the number one resource for small businesses and nonprofits. We're a full-service, interactive consulting firm specializing in social media marketing, web design, technology workshops, as well as leadership and management training. So go to TaylorMade101.com. That's TaylorMade101.com. Google me.
Welcome back to Current Events with Patrick Cook. In just a few minutes, we're going to open up the phone lines, but before we do that, joining me live in the studio is the executive producer of Current Events and the chief operating officer for TaylorMade Training and Consulting. I introduce to some and present to others, no other than Jima Hill Cook. Jima, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Well, first up, let's get right to it. Twitter, Facebook, the social media outlet has been on fire all week long on this issue of gay equality, is what I want to call it. I know people have kind of narrowed the focus down into gay marriage, but the reality is it's more about equality than anything else. So, I pose the question about the black churches. Are the black churches, in your opinion, on the wrong side of gay equality?
Well, what I won't do is paint a broad stroke and say, you know, all of them are, because I don't think all of them are. I think there are some that have come out and stated that they are extremely disappointing in the president, and you know, you have some that even stating whether or not they will vote for him this next election, based solely on him making a statement of what he believes. And contrary to popular opinion, contrary to what we've made up in our minds, the president does not have the authority to make laws or change laws or enact laws without the assistance of Congress. So his belief about the rights of gays to have the right to marry has no direct impact on anybody else's life, because it hasn't changed any. It didn't change. Him making that statement on Wednesday has not changed anything, any, you know, Christian or evangelical or whatever holy word you want to use has had to do on a daily basis. So I think the rush to attach more to his statement than what was needed, I think has been a greater disservice to people than really taking the time to look at it. And for what it was just him making a statement, because surely no one was surprised that may have been how he felt or what he believed, just based on the things that he has done since he's been in office as it relates to equality. So, you know, I would hope that, you know, after they remove their emotions and they turn around, that they see it for what it is, and that they move their emotions out the way and not hold that against him as a man, as a person, as a father, as it relates to the election. Because I think they'll be doing themselves and their parishioners a great disservice.
Okay, so here's what I want to know. And, of course, I want my audience to weigh in as well. And to do that, the number is 323-580-5712. Once again, the number is 323-580-5712. And I also have a chat room open, and you can also get it. It's on Twitter at TaylorMade101. But I want to know is, why is it that people can't separate President Barack Obama from their pastors or from their religious organization? Because the reality is the separation of church and state refers to the distance in the relationship between organized religion, whatever that may be, and the national state policies. So why is it that people want to put President Obama in his box and say that he has to govern in this fashion, as opposed to separating the two? Because for the black church to come out and say that, you know, they're against him because of this issue, to me, is really kind of hypocrisy.
Well, yeah, it's, I agree. It's hypocrisy on the highest level because, as I've stated throughout the week in our blog and just in different conversations I've had, we are the ones that put sin in compartments, not God. Jesus didn't put sin in compartments. You know, we want to make a big sin and a little sin, and we want to make, you know, that particular lifestyle, homosexual lifestyle, a big sin. And it's no bigger sin than if you go down the Ten Commandments. There's a problem. So, I mean, you know, if we want to talk about what's in the Old Testament, let's talk about everything that's in the Old Testament and everything that we shouldn't be doing, certain foods we shouldn't be eating. It even mentions in there about, you know, different fabrics and things. And so it's amazing to me that we place so much emphasis on one thing and expect the President of the United States of America to believe everything I believe when this particular, in my opinion, standard hasn't been placed on any other president in the history of a president. So you go back to the days of Bush 1, 2, Clinton, Reagan, they could have whatever belief they wanted to because of who they were. But this particular president has to believe everything or respond a certain way, and just because he's black, or, you know, or he's not, or whatever, however they try and look at it. And so I agree that there's been a lot of, oh Lord, just unfair expectations, and this falls right into that category.
So do you believe this rhetoric, it will manifest itself into people staying home, or do you think it manifests itself in some other way? And when I mean staying at home when it comes to November.
Well, I think because this is May and a lot of things will happen between now and November, I don't think it will carry the same amount of intensity as it does right now. I think people will take a step back. That's why I say once our emotions get out of the way and we take a step back and we decide to really look at this for what it is, and we look at, you know, how we have become judge, jury, and executioner, so many people and their lifestyle, and then we take the turn the mirror on ourselves and really begin to look at ourselves, we too will realize that, you know, well, I'm not that far off from being shunned and shamed either. Once we do that, then I think, you know, the pathway would be a lot clearer, because not only will you look at that, you'll take a look at the things that he has done in his presidency that you have directly benefited from. So as a female, as a woman, that might be of meager means, I have benefited greatly from the Affordable Health Care Act, probably in ways that I don't even realize because I just expect it to happen. But when you start looking at what's the possibility of things being taken away, health care issues, feeding of the children, taking away things that have been staples in our society because of who's now in power, the line would be real clear what side you need to stand on, because one gives a care about you at all, barely even recognizes you to be human, and another has done all that he can to keep you afloat and to keep you thriving. So it'll be real simple once the emotions are moved out of the way.
Okay, so how is it that then this is a bigger issue? Because obviously you're talking about the emotions that are running real high right now. People are saying things they probably don't mean, as well as their mind may change later on. They may realize that, aha, you know, this is crazy. I should be going to the polls vote for the president because he stands for everything else that I believe
in. Right.
But how is it, though, that this gay rights issue is a bigger issue than education? Is a bigger issue than the economic situation that most people are in. Is a bigger issue than health care. I mean, so when I hear something that really don't have any impact on my everyday life, really don't have an impact the way that I live my life or my next door neighbor lives, so it doesn't have any direct impact on me.
Right.
But these issues like education, economics, health care, those have a more profound and immediate impact on me as an individual, And I don't see the same level of emotions, the same level of enthusiasm about these issues as I do these gay rights issues. Am I missing something here? What's wrong?
Well, I don't know if you're missing anything, but here's what I think. If you go to church, Baptist, evangelical, Christian, whatever church you go to, whatever faith it is, whatever church, there's a lot of time spent on what you should not do because it's a sin. However, there's more time spent on things of the sexual nature. So when you think of anything sexual, it's automatically negative, it's bad, oh my gosh, you're going to die and go to hell. That's what you get, the fire and brimstone around that. But what we forget we should all get an understanding, what's in the Bible is the teachings of Christ around being your brother's keeper. What we forget is the teachings that he left us with when he gave us the Great Commission. What we forget about in the Bible is to take care of the least of these, and that there will always be poor among you, and that you should take care of the children and the widow. Those are the things we forget about. And if we were to spend just a little bit more time taking care of those things, then we really wouldn't have the time to be concerned about who's sleeping with whom, because we would be concerned about their overall life. See, the thing that gets me about when it comes to dealing with gay rights is that it's always attached to just a man being with a man and a woman being with a woman in the sexual sense. If you was to remove the sex out of it, because I know some gay people that are celibate, they're not having sex with nobody, right? So, but that doesn't take them out of being mistreated because of a lifestyle that they're not even really practicing. So if you take the sex out of it, you just have a person who wants to be able to live their life and to live their life protected by the rights that are guaranteed under the Constitution. We're not talking about adding anything to the Constitution. These are regular people. No more or no less than you or I are. And so the fact that we have made it be about religion, and I have to quote Reverend Sharpton on this when he states that we are a nation built on democracy, not theocracy. So, you know, because it's too many people in the country that believe different things. So we're not based on one religion. For every corner, you probably got a different religion. And you can believe in anything you want to believe in. That's what makes America great. That is what makes America great.
Yeah.
Is that we don't stone people because you don't believe what I believe. So if that's what makes us great, then how have we allowed that greatness in us that makes people risk their lives to come here? Then why have we taken it and turned it into something else?
So which takes me back to the original question, right? And that is the black church, are they on the wrong side of this issue? But I want to address the question that was posed in the root. It says that why would the black church cite scripture to exclude gays when a similar approach to the Bible was used to enslave their ancestors? It is so unfortunate, says Jane Cone, on one of the nation's most influential black theologians and author of The Cross and the Lynching Tree. So his basic question is, why are they using this strategy, this tactic, this wedge issue to cite these things that exclude gays when the same strategy was used against African Americans?
Because because of the act of being gay, we don't think it's something that you're born with. We think it's a choice. And since I don't have a choice to be black or to be a woman, then that's different. That's the lie we tell ourselves. You know, I guess the jury is still out as to whether or not you're born gay or you become gay or you choose to be. Because it's a choice, then some think because you're choosing that, then you shouldn't have the same privileges and rights under the law. That's the only way I can give you an answer. Now, I don't believe that, but that's what I've heard.
Okay, so then finally, because I want to move to the wedge issue of this issue, if you will. But so if the argument is about sex, and if the argument about these people not doing the right thing is not biblical, why then do we not get up in arms about divorce or about cheating or about these other things that are sexual in nature, fornication, that has a worse impact statistically on the family than gay rights?
Because it's not sexual in terms of in the it really comes down to I could have made a mistake in having sex before I was married and getting pregnant. So which one was the mistake, that you had sex or that you got pregnant?
Right.
I mean, you know, and so we'll excuse that away. I could have had a lapse in judgment because of my infidelity. And so I can excuse that away. But if I made a choice to make something my lifestyle, then I can't be shunned away because it's a choice that I'm making. That's the only, and once again, I have to say I'm not agreeing with that, because like I stated in the beginning, there's no big sin and there's no little sin. And if you were to really go through the Bible and live as true to the scripture as you try to hold people that are homosexual to, none of us would still be here, because he would have gotten rid of all of us by now. He, for me, being God, would have gotten rid of all of us by now, because none of us are living up to the standard that he has laid forth for us. So I don't know how they can quote a scripture from the Old Testament, and Jesus came in the New Testament to grant us grace and mercy. It doesn't excuse any sin. And the one thing that's missing, and this is the part that really troubles my soul, is the lack of compassion that we as a body of believers have for those who may be different from us. Jesus, even when he was angry, when he turned the table over, he turned it over in the temple out of anger, but he was still compassionate with the people. To the woman who was found in adultery, he did not shun her. He, through compassion, gave her a lesson and said, go and sin no more. To the woman who he met at the well, who he knew was sleeping around with all sorts of people, he even knew her and said, the one you with now is not even yours. But that's so just do differently. He didn't shun people. He didn't belittle. He didn't shame. So where did that come from in the body of believers, that we shame people, that we make them feel less than? How is that okay? Because that's not, I don't see that in the Bible.
And here
I'm not a scholar. I'm not
issue.
A scholar, but I don't remember
right.
that in Sunday school or BTU or my summer camps. I don't remember that.
And so herein lies the issue that a lot of non-believers have with the believers or with the black church, because of this type of hypocrisy. When you
Correct.
Want to categorize sin, when you want to point your finger at me, when you want to shame me, and you know you're doing wrong, and you know you're doing, living outside of the will of God. And so it is unfortunate that we have this hypocrisy and we don't have this standard in the church for people to follow. And then it's more unfortunate the fact that now they want to point the finger at these people that are not like them, regardless of is gay or any other reason that they're not like them, and then they want to now point the finger at them and shame them, as you said. It's really unfortunate.
And even sadder part is that, you know, we play this role like we haven't had gay people in our churches. That's the other big hypocrisy of it all. You know, there's been people gay in our churches for forever. You can call it what you want to call it. You can
right.
say they just special. You can say they just going through whatever. But they've always been in church. They've not been in church because they were gay. And they've been in the black church. They've been either playing for you on your piano. They've been directing your choir. They've been somewhere being useful in your ministry. And so how can you talk about that as a sin and shun it, but the teenage mother that came 3-4 times pregnant and she's, you know, she's just made a mistake. Oh, she's just this. That's unacceptable. Because if we living by the scripture, as I stated, and we in the Old Testament, the 10 that was written, the 10 commandments, thou shalt not. It's 10 of them that everybody want to quote when they talk about the thou shalt not. So it wasn't just talking about homosexuality in a thou shalt not. You know, and so
exactly right,
there's hypocrisy all over when it comes to what we do, because how do you reconcile? And we've had this conversation before. So we talk about the Bible, and it's against the Bible to have an abortion, and yet it's okay to execute somebody. When you tell me that life is supposed to be lived and sanctified and the sanctity of life, and yet you then go and say, but it's okay to kill people if they do something. How do you reconcile that? And so to a person, the biggest problem is that we have spent way too much time listening to the preacher instead of studying the word for ourselves.
That's right, that's right.
Whatever that book is that you read that's supposed to guide you, and for me it's the Holy Bible, I have to read that for myself. I have to get my own relationship with God so God can speak to me about what it is I need to do for my house. See, the pastor has a role to play, but he doesn't have it. He can't think for me on everything.
Right, right.
I've got to get my own understanding, and that's where we have allowed people to watch people on TV and go to all these conferences and go to all these things, and yet when it's coming time to study. And I don't even think we really know how to study the Bible anymore. I really don't think we understand what it means to really sit down and read a scripture and meditate on it and
right.
see what that scripture says to you. Because for every person in the world, that scripture may speak to them, everybody differently.
Yep.
I mean, you and I are you know, somewhat educated people, and we can sit and read the exact same scripture at the exact same time of day and get something completely different.
Right.
And it's not your job to convince me that yours is right or mine to convince you that mine is right. Let's talk about it. Because maybe I missed something in my getting and understanding.
Right.
Maybe I didn't see it that way. And so that's why you need to do this thing for yourself. Your pastor's not going to get you into heaven if that's where you believe you're headed. Your pastor's not going to get you into heaven.
That's right.
Your grandma ain't going to get you into heaven. You're going to have to get there by what you do, what you say, how you've lived. That's what the Lord is going to ask you. Did you feed me when I was hungry? That's what he's going to ask. Did
right.
you clothe me when I was naked? Were you, how did you treat your fellow man? That's what he wants to know. He's really not going to be concerned about all this other stuff that we've made church be about. That's not
right.
what church is about. It's the go ye therefore is what we're supposed to do. And we spend too much time in the building and not out in the community affecting people's lives.
Mm-hmm. So true. To join the conversation, the number to call is 323-580-5712. Once again, the number is 323-580-5712. We're going to take a quick break. When we return, we're going to talk a little bit about the politics of this issue. Now, is this a wedge issue? How is this going to affect the president during the November election? Is this issue more important than his reelection and all the things that he's accomplished up until this point and all the things that we still need to get accomplished moving forward? Is this detrimental to the reelection campaign of President Obama? You're listening to Current Events with Patrick Cook. Be back in a moment.
Cook Enterprises have joined forces with Google Inc. and Amazon.com. With this new partnership, our companies, TaylorMade Training and Consulting, Current Events, and Ask Shima, can now offer you the best deals 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Whether you're looking for discounted books for your book club or a very special gift for a friend, family member, or loved one, TaylorMade's Marketplace is where you should go first. Visit our website at TaylorMade101.com and click on Marketplace to get the best deals today.
Current events with Patrick Cook is joining the fight with First Lady Michelle Obama to help feed hungry children and stop childhood obesity. During the school year, many children receive free and reduced-price breakfast and lunch as a result of the school breakfast and national school lunch programs. However, when the last bell sounds, marking the end of the school year, for many, it marks the beginning of hunger that will plague them throughout the summer. Here at Current Events, we're going to fill that nutrition gap and make sure children can get the nutritious meals they need. To learn how you can help with this worthy cause, go to TaylorMade101.com and click on Hunger Free. That's TaylorMade101.com and click on Hunger Free.
Thank you for your call. Let me read you a couple of my Twitter family, and then I'll have you respond, Dr. Hutchinson. But I want to read the first one from one of my best Twitter family members, Ask Jima. And Ask Jima says, Reverend Al, today is my birthday, and I'm sitting in Barnes & Noble Starbucks watching you online, driving people around me crazy, and I wanted to wave at her and the folks she's driving crazy and wish her a happy birthday on her 21st birthday. That's my friend, and of course, my Eastbourne friend.
Stay tuned. We'll be back with more of Current Events with Patrick Cook. Patrick Cook.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Dick Iuliano. 3 days after announcing $2 billion in losses, the CEO of J.P. Morgan Chase is conceding his bank made a terrible mistake. NPR's Asma Khalid reports on the bank chief's public admission made today on NBC's Meet the Press.
J.P. Morgan CEO Jamie Dimon says he was dead wrong when he initially dismissed concerns about bets the bank made.
I obviously didn't know because I never would have said that.
Dimon says, in hindsight, the company took on too much risk.
The strategy we had was barely vetted. It was barely monitored. It should never have happened.
And he says the company's big loss could give regulators ammunition to craft stricter rules.
This is a very unfortunate and opportune time to have had this kind of mistake.
Former House Financial Services Committee Chairman Barney Frank told ABC's This Week he hopes the final version of the so-called Volcker Rule will prevent the type of trading that led to J.P. Morgan's loss. Asma Khalid, NPR News, Washington.
Big changes today at the internet company Yahoo. Yahoo's CEO Scott Thompson has abruptly stepped down amid controversy over his resume, according to the Wall Street Journal's technology blog. Yahoo has named an interim CEO and has placed Fred Amoroso as its new chairman of the board. Amoroso had been leading the investigation into reported inaccuracies on Thompson's resume. It's expected to be a big week for Facebook. Its founder and CEO Mark Zuckerberg marks his 28th birthday tomorrow. And later this week, Facebook is expected to start selling shares to the public. The initial public offering could value the social networking company at $100 billion. Greece seems to be headed for another election because top party leaders and the country's president have failed so far to agree on forming a coalition government. John Saropoulos has more from Athens.
The radical left Syriza has for the last time scuppered any hopes that it might join more moderate parties in a coalition. Syriza denounces Greece's bailout and austerity program as disharmonious with the popular will. It came in a surprise second in last Sunday's election with 17% of the vote. Greece's creditors say there is no alternative way for Greece to remain within the Eurozone. Syriza's refusal to cooperate means that the democratic left also withdraws, and that leaves only the socialists and conservatives who lack the seats to govern. They wanted a two-year administration that would keep the euro and renegotiate rather than renounce the tough austerity package. Greece is now likely to hold a repeat election next month, and that could jeopardize its membership in the euro. For NPR News, I'm John Saropoulos in Athens.
Ireland will be asking voters May 31st to vote for or against an EU treaty that demands austerity. The EU plan would require Ireland to control the government's annual spending deficit. This is NPR. Confidential data is missing, including social security numbers belonging to hundreds of thousands of Californians. Bob Hensley of Capital Public Radio reports the California Department of Social Services has launched an investigation aimed at finding the missing data.
California officials are notifying 700,000 people who provide in-home supportive services that a portion of a shipment containing their personal information can't be found. A spokesman for the Department of Social Services says the missing data includes Social Security numbers and the amount of money the agency paid the providers. The department was notified recently by the Hewlett-Packard Company that a package containing payroll information HP had mailed to the State Compensation Insurance Fund was damaged. The spokesman says the data was missing when the shipment arrived at the fund's office. Investigators are trying to determine if the data was stolen or simply lost. For NPR News, I'm Bob Hensley in Modesto, California.
The jobs picture appears to be brightening for 2012 college graduates compared to their counterparts last year. Interviews with graduating seniors and career center directors suggest spirits are more upbeat and the students say companies are hiring. But many graduates say they're settling for lower salaries than they wanted and are moving to less desirable locations. Gaj Filipaj, a refugee from war-torn Yugoslavia, has worked for years as a janitor mopping floors at Columbia University. Like many university employees, Gaj has been eligible for educational benefits, and he's taking advantage. Today is graduation day for Gaj Filipaj, 52 years old, a bachelor's degree in classics. I'm Dick Giuliano, NPR News.
Welcome back to Current Events with Patrick Cook. If you just join the conversation, the number to call is 323-580-5712. Once again, the number is 323-580-5712. We want to keep the conversation going about this issue, and the question I am simply posing is, are the black churches on the wrong side of gay equality in America? And we've discussed several angles that were taken on both sides, both perspectives. But now I want to kind of shift to the political perspective. So Jima, I want to know, how do you think this would have an impact on the president in the future, knowing that in the past this has been a political football that was used very effectively by the Bush campaign? And I want to also ask you this question on the backdrop of this article that was published several days ago. And it was called National Organization for Marriage Memos Reveal Some Old Racial Wedge Strategy. And here's what it said. Surprise! The National Organization of Marriages uses race as strategic wedge issues in the debate over marriage equality. A confidential memo obtained by the Human Rights Campaign outlines a strategy to divide along racial lines, stating, here's what it had to say, and this has come straight out of the Daily Beast. The strategic goal of this project is to drive a wedge between gays and blacks. Let me say that one more time, just in case I wasn't clear. This is a confidential memo obtained by the Human Rights Campaign, published the other day by the Daily Beast, and it says this. The strategic goal of this project is to drive a wedge between gays and blacks, two key Democratic constituents, it said. We aim to find, equip, energize, and connect African American spokespeople for marriage to develop a media campaign around their objections to marriage as a civil right, and to provoke the gay marriage base into responding by denouncing these spokesmen and women as bigots. Jima, have they been effective in this campaign?
Well, I think if the difference between now and when George Bush did it those so many years ago has a lot more to do with the social media. I mean, people are quicker to hear stuff now and are quicker to respond. And so I don't think it will be as effective this go around, because there's people that will work almost immediately to debunk what they're saying. And will have, you know, proof to back up, you know, when they find out that these people are out making these sorts of statements, they'll remind us of history. So I don't think it'll be as effective this go around because of the impact that social media is having, you know, on our day to day lives.
You know, I like that. I like that response, because in the past, and how they use it effectively, is that you have these pockets of media people that can blitz you with this information, right? And they can say the things over and over and over again till they make you believe that it's true. I don't care how false it is, but if they say it enough times, they have finally come to the realization that they can make it true by repeating it, even though it's not. And so what I hear you saying is that this is less effective nowadays because of social media. Now, as soon as they strike a blow, we can immediately hit them back with Twitter, with Facebook, with Blog Talk Radio, with blogs, and say, look, this is crazy. And so we now have a vehicle to fight or combat these nonsensical issues when they come up, so it won't be less effective. I like that point.
Well, thank you. I'm glad I was able to impress you today.
All right, I want to shift the conversation now to Marissa Alexander.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So last week, here's what I had to say about the situation. I said that Marissa Alexander, a 31-year-old mother of three, is facing a mandatory 20 years behind bars. She had pinned her hopes for freedom on a motion for a new trial. The motion was denied. And then in late April, she spoke to CNN. I kind of played the video. I actually played the interview. Turns out this week, she actually got convicted and was sentenced 20 years behind bars. What is going on in America? To the point that we can actually convict a young lady, a mother, on this Mother's Day, to be a fact, you know, to talk about it during Mother's Day, can convict her for doing something that did not harm a single soul.
I'm gonna agree with the congresswoman from that area, which I believe is Representative Corrine Brown, who made the statement when the sentencing came down, it was given her 20 years. And by the way, that was what the law. That's how the law is written. That any time a firearm is discharged, I believe the law is written that there is a minimum sentencing of 20 years. So, excuse me, the judge really didn't have any leeway here because they charged her and they made it a felony. The three different charges they charged her with, and they made them felons, the judge really did not have any recourse here but to give her the minimum of 20. What Representative Brown said to the prosecutor, which happens to be the same prosecutor that was the special prosecutor, for Trayvon Martin's case, was Angela Corey, I think that's her name. What Representative Brown said to her was, "You overcharged in this case. How did you come up with attempted murder and illegal, you know, all these charges they came up with for a woman who was an abused woman who was in fear of her life, and this is what you charged her with?" And he gets charged with nothing. So I'm in agreement that I think the prosecutor was just overzealous and really was out of order. But hopefully Marissa will get an attorney and appeal, and things will look a little different. But, you know, also, as I think I stated last week, I'm concerned about those people that sat on the jury. How could you convict someone of such a crime knowing that the conviction is going to carry a 20-year sentence with all the information you had, the previous abuse that she suffered? She was a mother who had just given birth, and she had a 9-day-old child in the house. The husband has stated, if I can't have you, nobody will. So that was, she was in, you know, imminent threat at that time. How could that jury find her guilty? That's what I'm concerned about. I'm concerned about the prosecutor making the charges, and I'm concerned about the jury that found her guilty. I don't understand that.
Yeah, I was reading this article, I think about Roland Martin. He said that why was she charged, convicted, and sentenced? Because State Attorney Angela Corey, the same prosecutor that leading the Trayvon Martin case, said that the gun was fired near a bedroom where her two children were, and they could have been injured. But the bullet didn't hit the children. You know, it didn't come in any harm's way. And so I don't even think she pointed the gun at her husband.
No, she pointed it at
the ceiling.
She just simply
fired a warning shot, you know, as is, get off of me, you know, quit bothering me. You already she threatened him. And so I don't understand how as you mentioned about the jury, but I don't understand how the stand your ground law didn't apply here. And B, I don't understand how a jury can go back and within 12 minutes come back and says, yes, she's guilty, without somebody saying, look, you know, look at all the issues in this case, not simply the fact that she's fired a weapon. You know, the rationale for firing a weapon to me should have been cause enough for them to come back to acquit.
Right. Yeah. And the fact you're dealing with an abuser who has admitted being abusive to her and to, you know, I think he said he got 3 baby mamas and he didn't put his hands on all of them.
Absolutely, yeah.
But one. So, I mean, you know, seriously, you know, this is where we take a look at stand your ground and figure out how is it not applicable here, but applicable with George Zimmerman. And it just doesn't make sense.
Not at all. Okay, so we're winding down to the end of the show today. We have our special Mother Day's edition. We're going to go back and let the woman that we are celebrating in this household enjoy the rest of her evening after a wonderful dinner at Ruth Chris and great steaks and desserts, and it was just a wonderful day. I'm really glad I had an opportunity to spend time with my lovely wife. So we're going to shorten the show today, but we will pick it back up next week at its normal regular scheduled time for the entire duration. So as we get ready to close down for the day, Jim, I want to get your final thoughts.
My final thoughts in listening and of all the things that happened over the course of this week, I just challenge people to read and study, you know, the word in terms of the Bible or whatever it is your faith is. Study whatever, you know, you need to study to get your own relationship with Christ, or your own relationship with whoever it is that you serve. I serve God, and so I study to maintain and get a better understanding of my relationship with Jesus and what he would have me to do here on this side. I also would encourage us to know that of 10 million people that are unregistered to vote, and those registrations have an impact on everyday life. They have an impact on who sits in the jury. I mean, who knows how many people that was of her peers were able to be part of that jury pool, because if you're not registered, you don't get to be sitting in the jury box. So you don't get to be able to have impact on somebody else's life. So we've got to get out and register to vote. It is vital. It is important. It is critical that we do that. Because we elect judges. We're in high election season here in the state of Texas, in Dallas County area and all over, and I'm seeing all these signs with these judges on there, and I'm a hard conservative, or I'm a true conservative, and I'm trying to figure out exactly what is that. What is a true conservative, and what does it have to do with how you're going to render decisions from the bench? And so we got to go out and vote and be informed voters here in the area. And then, you know, as you began to get, you know, get ready for the school year to end, find something for your child to do during the summer that is constructive, that would keep their minds occupied. Study shows that kids lose a half a year of reading and math during the summer because they're idle. They're not doing anything. So try to find a program, even if it's at the library, even if you can't take them every day, but please make sure they're reading. Go by, library is still free. That's the one thing they haven't taxed, you know, made us pay for yet, unless you're late in return. And go to the library. Pick out a book or two a week and have your child start to read and do that on throughout the summer. You will be so surprised at the impact you have. And as just on a side note, for those that are in the Dallas metropolitan area, here at our church at Faith Missionary Baptist Church at 6710 Garner Road in Rowlett, Texas, on this coming Saturday, May 19th, we will be having a free jazz concert. So visit our website, and Patrick will give that to you. Visit our website. You can find out more information about it, but it's going to be this Saturday, May 19th, from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. Come out, enjoy some music. There'll be vendors out there, and there'll be games and things for the kids, and just come and just fellowship one with another as we go into yet another season. So I'd like to say thank you to my husband for a wonderful day today. My dinner was great. I woke up to flowers, and they were lovely. And to my son, who's made me all sorts of wonderful gifts. I have so many cards and things from him, and he just made me feel so special. And to my mother, Reverend Mary Hardy Hancock of Kansas City, Kansas, I would like to say happy Mother's Day to you, to all of my sisters, Margaret and Felicia and my sister-in-law, Chrissy and Pat. Happy Mother's Day to my best friend who I've known since kindergarten, Frederica Olivia Poindexter Scott. Happy Mother's Day to you and to all my friends. If I start calling names, I'll forget somebody, so to all my friends out there, I love you guys, and happy Mother's Day to you. And take care. Have a blessed week. And I will turn it back over to Mr. Cook for the website.
Well, that's our show for today. I would like to thank all the listeners for tuning in. And, of course, a special thanks to my co-host, the wonderful, the magnificent Jima Hill Cook. Now, don't forget to follow her on Twitter, and that's at AskJima. That's AskJema. You're listening to Current Events with Patrick Cook. I'm your host, Patrick Cook, coming to you live from Dallas, Texas, as I do every Sunday at 4 p.m. Central Time, 5 o'clock Eastern. We are the number one resource for small business and nonprofits. Remember, it is written, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. So stay engaged, stay informed, and stay plugged in to Current Events with Patrick Cook. Now, don't forget to bookmark this site and visit my blog at TaylorMadeTalkRadio.blogspot.com. That's TAILORMADE talkradio.blogspot.com. Now, of course, Jima mentioned our jazz concert coming out at 6710 Garner Road in Rowlett, Texas. Now, if you need more information, contact Ladarian at hotmail.com. That's LAD as in Delta, ARIEN at hotmail.com. I also want to talk to you about a scholarship drive I'm having. Go out to TaylorMadeTalkRadio.blogspot.com. Again, that's TAILORMADE TalkRadio.blogspot.com. You're listening to the sounds of Joyce Spencer and Sweet Dreams. Take us away, Joyce.